Good morning. So, some of you guys I know well was thinking about how even this morning, just thinking about knowing some of you for like 20 years, maybe more than 20 years, and every once in a while getting a chance to reconnect again, and thinking of all the 20-year time and what it was like in those early days when we were here and we're wrestling with God and all the things that he's doing in our lives through over those years and all those things that happened. And whether I actually know you or not, same kind of thing for you. All these things that God's doing in your life, what's he doing now? So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening in Thailand. I'm encouraged because every time I hear things about what's happening with Big Timber Church, I'm always encouraged. You guys got so much wonderful stuff going on here. I'm just glad to hear about it. Some of you that know Barb, Barb is doing awesome. She's back up at, we're with YWAM. She's up at the YWAM base in Lakeside. Goes through a debriefing seminar this coming week, and so she wasn't able to come along. But probably for her, this is probably one of the most influential times in terms of being able to minister into people's lives. It's just a really exciting time for her right now. So as you continue to pray for her, she's excited for what God is doing. And so thank you for that. All right, I wanted to ask, I have a wristband on here. It says stretch. And where we're at in Thailand, we're in a spot where we're kind of being stretched. Barb and I oversee the most northern province for Thailand called Chiang Rai. There's the city of Chiang Rai and then the province of Chiang Rai. And so we've just been hearing God stretch us. Okay, we want to take you here. It's really going to be great. You're really going to like it. But you know what that's like? When we're in that place, we think the idea of being whatever it is, stepping into all of the will of God, we think that's awesome, but when we actually start moving in it, ooh, it's uncomfortable, it's hard. And so so at any rate, we're working with some ties in the very same area of trying to get stretched by God. Comes out of Isaiah 54, 2. We're talking about stretching the tent pegs out. God is wanting more. He's using us in more ways, more influence, more ways to minister and to love people in Thailand. So I was just wondering, is there anybody here that maybe God is speaking to you about, wow, I think it's time to move you. I think it's time to stretch you beyond maybe what you can do. We don't want to be able to only function in what we can think about. We're in the Spirit. We want to move beyond that so it's something maybe harder than we think. Anybody there? Anybody need one of these because you're getting stretched? Come on, you can flip up a hand. There's one right there. Very good, very good. Thank you. All right, there is one more. All right. Are you getting stretched? All right. By the way, I don't wear this when I work in Thailand. I wear shorts and flip-flops. This is a hill tribe. There's about 10 hill tribe groups around where we are, and this one is called Karen, or we would say it Karen from an English standpoint. Thais call them Karen, and they are probably right now the most prominent, most after God hill tribe that's going on in Thailand right now. In some areas, revival things, they're working through one area called Om Koi, where the guy that was helping, they were doing this incredible fasting and prayer times, and these kids, their age and older, are just caught up in the Spirit of God. They want to pray for people, be in worship more than anything else. It's the oddest thing from our perspective. Seriously, let's go get some candy. No, I just want to worship. It's that kind of thing where you go, wow, I just don't get it. But God is starting to move. It started with a girl that they'd been praying and fasting. There was a girl that got her foot caught in the spokes of a motorcycle, all those little motorcycles that run around, and tore it open. They started praying for this little girl, that it would heal up. And so they prayed for like 5 hours over this and saw that heel get healed. And they're like, wow. So everybody's like, whew. So in this area, there's like 200 villages of Karen people. This is on the border of Burma. Anyway, and little by little, this revival starts going, it starts moving through this thing. So cool things happening in Thailand right now. I did want to find out, some of you guys are kind of artsy, and there's a guy that we know in Thailand. He is a Thai Chinese believer, and just creative guy. If you want, he'll come up. We have this missionary friend of ours has a prayer room, and said, "Could you come over and just draw your stuff on our wall?" And he's just kind of fun. I really like his stuff. So, any creative people want one of these? Where are we going? Sure. All right. I wanted to mention there's a children's home that's a YWAM children's home, and they it's all girls. It's for sexually abused. Somehow sexual abuse has happened in their lives, and they're there. It's a hard go, so they have different things that they do to raise support and that kind of stuff. And anyway, I was just thinking these are a couple of little things that these kids make, and so I thought that you guys probably should. It's just a little thing to hang on your backpack, you know, just one of those things. And I keep thinking, wow, you know, there's always somebody that goes, "I can't get enough coffee from Chiang Rai, Thailand." Yes, so we have some coffee for Chiang Rai. Anybody need some? Wow, there's a wave. Oh, it's Lisa. That went up fast. Yeah. Coffee. So this comes from, can I walk back here? Am I going to feed back? So this comes from a place called Borders. Borders is a ministry where they use the coffee to raise support for their Thai staff. It's hard. Unlike here, where you kind of, somebody wants to go do missions, and you go, "Well, all right, go around to the churches, and we'll support you, and all that kind of stuff." They can't. It's really tough in Thailand. You get somebody, man, they're on fire for God, they have no way to gain support, because there's so few Christians and so few churches, and the churches that are there don't think about missions. They're a receiving. Thailand is a receiving country. So no, the other people in the West, they come to us. They help us. We don't send people out. But they're starting to change. And those guys at Borders are part of that change. And we're starting to send out more and more Thais who have come to Christ to other places. And around Southeast Asia, as well as far as Africa. We sent a team there, all Thai team. That was... We're thinking, whoa, things are changing in Thailand. About 1%, we usually say about 1% Christians in Thailand. It's not totally like that. It'd be like in the States. Some places are like that, but not every place is like that. And in Thailand, the far north where we are, there's a lot more Christians. And it's because hill tribe people are, just by religious affiliation, are much more receptive to the gospel. Thais, man, they are locked into that Buddhist thing. It's a hard go. But even for Thais, the younger generation is coming up. We've had times in the past now where billboards are for come to the monastery, essentially. Come and do your work in the temple and become Buddhist. They're talking to the kids, the young ones, to come and join the temples. And because they're kind of the numbers of young people joining the temples is a lot lower, which we're going, yay, this is good. The influence of the internet and all of that kind of shifts things from strong Buddhism to more materialism. But in that transition, we're seeing God do really fun, really good things. So, it's just weird to be back here. Really good, though, really good. God has been speaking a lot to me recently about the goodness, his goodness. And so I'll just share a short little thing here of what he's been doing, and then I'll show you some video here. But I had this period of time where I just felt like I like these Thai people. They're great, but I want to enlarge my heart. I want to love them more, and I want to see that goodness of God flow through me to them. And, you know, when you get to a place where you actually have to pray to love more, you know, you're probably in trouble. So we go, all right, God, you can do this thing in me. You can touch my life in a more dramatic way. And so anyway, I started praying about that, and I don't know what that's like for you. Sometimes I pray for things, I kind of forget that I was praying about it. Time goes by, and I kind of quit praying about that. And so I ended up, for some reason, had this thing in me about, you know how YouTube stuff will all of a sudden show up on your right side, and I'm going, well, this guy's been to hell. I want to see what he says. And I'm clicking on these YouTube videos of these people who had been to hell. And I'm fascinated hearing testimonies of people going to hell, and I don't know why. I'm so fascinated. But there they are, and I'm going, wow, you know, all the stuff in Scripture, these guys are experiencing the darkness, the deep darkness that you can feel. They're feeling that fear, that constant fear, that feeling of torment, that feeling of parchedness, that thing where there's not much air to breathe, all of that, that heat, all the stuff that we think of. And many of these different people have experienced that kind of stuff. And until I'm finally, I'm like, God, I don't know if you're wanting me to be watching these things, but I don't know if I can take it anymore. And anyway, I was talking to some friends, and this friend of mine asked me, so what are you praying about these days? And I go, well, about the love and the goodness of God. And I had like this, like, bung, you know how that goes. And had that sense of God going, you want to know about my goodness? And I just showed you what hell is like. You need to have the contrast of what that all is, because you're not getting what my goodness is all about. And so I'm reading in James 1:14, I think it is, where he talks about every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. Every good and perfect, so that every good thing that you ever experience, every good word that somebody said to you, everything that you consider in your life that's good, God your Father thought up first and sent that to you. Everything good. I go, wow, okay. Until he starts to go, think about the stuff just around you. If everything, including our thoughts, right? Thoughts, good thoughts, inventions, everything comes from the Father. We pray all the time, your kingdom come on earth. This is all coming down to us. We are a shadow of the real. Right? People go to heaven. What do they experience? Oh, it's so real up there. The colors are so vibrant. So much different than here we're in the shadow. So anyway, so he says, well, what about the stuff around you? And I'm thinking, like, I mean, like this? Yeah. Somebody, I downloaded somebody to invent a podium. Is it good, Greg? It's good. Yeah, I like it. It's good. I like it. That came from me. Everything good that you've ever experienced comes from me. These are nice chairs. I like these chairs. They're really good. Yeah. The clothes, I like the camouflage stuff happening in your shirt. Awesome. Somebody invented how to make this fabric and put this stuff on Trace's shirt. Somebody did that. How did that happen? Everything good comes from above. You're not that smart, and neither am I. It comes from God. It's coming down. And that's why we can pray for more of that stuff. So I start thinking about this, particularly in Thailand. I'm in a concrete house and have that sense of God going, what about the concrete? And I'm going, concrete is so good. Thais love concrete because it doesn't disintegrate, which everything else does. They have concrete telephone poles. Everything is concrete. And so at least the more modern building stuff. And so he's going, I made that, or I gave that information to someone to make that concrete. What about the paint on that concrete? Ooh, yeah, that's good. All that creativity comes from God. All of it. How do I know? Because he starts talking about, now you need to get a grasp of this. When I withdraw my presence, I withdraw my goodness. And what is left is hell. There is no creativity in hell. Water's good. There is no water. That's why in Scripture he says, just touch my tongue. I just need a little bit of water. There is no light. It's darkness. God is light. And when he withdraws his presence, it's only darkness. It's only fear, because he's love, and perfect love casts out fear. It's only fear. It's only torment. It's only all the things that we read about in Scripture. And so he says, start looking around more. I'm looking around outside and thinking of all these plants and stuff that's just gorgeous. And I'm just going, God, you are so good. And he's going, well, who gets to participate in that? I go, I get to have that. I get to be a part. And God is just blessing me with the goodness that I can see around all the time. And he goes, what about the people who live around here? I go, wow. You know, actually, those people that live out there, they are experiencing the goodness of God all day long, every day. They just don't know it. And so I would even get in these places where I would see something, and I go, wow, God, that is just so cool. I'd love that. And, you know, I'm worried about friends going, what do you see? And I go, well, I'm looking at the carpet. Cool carpet. Don't you think that's really good? It's carpet. Oh, but God dropped that thing in somebody's mind and they figured out how to make that all. That is so cool. And these colors within it. There is no creativity in hell. Nothing like that. All these guys that I grew up with, they wanted to go and party in hell. That's not going to happen. Why not? Relationship. Is relationship good? Oh, man, it's good. But not in hell. You can't have a party in hell because it's about relationship. God is good all the time, and he's pouring out that goodness on us all around. We just don't even notice. So he says, okay, I want you to start thinking about what that is in your life. And started putting us in this place where we started to think, all right, I need to start to pray that out. I go to some meetings, I'm going with some people, going to meet with some people. Maybe I don't like those people very well. I kind of going in fear. Oh, no, this is going to be, I got to meet with them again. And God is going, no, you need to have an eager expectation that something good is about to happen, because I'm God and I'm about good. You need to expect something good is going to happen. So we started thinking, all right, I have an eager expectation, God. Something good is about to happen. I need to change my heart, my mind about how I think about that. Something good is about to happen. And then I take off and go to those meetings and see what God would do. And say, well, yes, God is good all the time, but what about when it's hard? If you read in James, in 14, he's talking about every good and perfect thing comes out. But at the beginning, he says, consider it all joy when various trials come your way. How can I think about that as joyful? I just had a trial come. What am I supposed to do? And he's going, well, that trial is a trial or a test of your faith, it says there. He says, this is about your relationship with God. How can it be good? You have a good father who says he'll, Romans 8:28, he'll change everything around for good, for your good, right? How can I be joyful about this thing? Because I know that all the time is good coming, even if I have a trial. He'll use the trial to bring about something good. How do we know? We have a cross. The worst awful gross thing happened. The worst trial happened and brought about the greatest good ever. Okay, Greg, you can do this. I'm not giving you the cross to do. You don't have to go hanging a cross. You can do this within the stuff that you have to do. I'm in you. We can start doing that. You need to start changing and think how I think. You need to do that in Thailand. It's hard. Don't get up every day and think, oh, it's so hard in Thailand. Oh, these Buddhists, they don't come to Christ. Oh, no. You need to have an eager expectation. Something good is about to happen. I'm going to let you in on that. Okay? So you've been sitting there for a while. Maybe we should try this out. So why don't we stand? You don't have to do this if you don't want to do it. But for those who want to, why don't you stand up? And I'll just feed you the thing, and you can say it if you want, okay, if that's something you want to do. Just in our prayer, we just want to change our hearts to believe that God, do we really believe he's good? Is he good all the time? He's good till it kind of gets hard for me. No, no, no. What that doesn't change his goodness. He continues and will even use that hard thing to bring about good. Okay? So you ready to do this? I have an eager expectation. I have an eager expectation. That something good is about to happen. I have an eager expectation that something good is about to happen. Okay, one more time. I have an eager expectation. Something good is about to happen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You are good. You are good. Thank you. Okay, you can have a chair. All right. Oh, so much stuff to talk about in only a few minutes to do it. Okay, one of the cool things that's happening with us right now that you guys would probably be interested in is for us, just to fill you in on what we do, we oversee, as I say, Chiang Rai, the northernmost place in Thailand. We have about 90 staff. These YWAMers are involved in a variety of things. We have 3 children's homes, 1 sexual abuse, 1 just children at risk, another for kids that have been affected by HIV/AIDS. There's a child sponsorship program, much like Compassion that you're familiar with, helping kids to go to school. We have some university ministries. We're a couple of coffee shops in different university settings. Where they're reaching into universities. We have a couple of fitness ministries. One, are you guys familiar with CrossFit? I don't know if that's a few people, okay. Wow. No, there's no CrossFit Big Timber? Okay, Google that one. Anyway, we've got a ministry called Project Fit, and they do fitness ministry in the university. Kids that want to get fit, and so they're reaching out to those guys as well. They do rock climbing and all kinds of stuff. You can do pretty much anything someplace else, and there'll be somebody there that wants to do whatever it is that you know how to do. I have a nephew, and he's going, I kind of want to come to Thailand and do something, but I don't, you know, what am I going to do? And he's a welder, and I'm thinking, dude, man, all kinds of stuff for you to do there. He's, yeah, I'm not sure. And then we're thinking, he's into CrossFit. He loves CrossFit. Come and do CrossFit in Thailand. They'll just come right around you. They can't wait to have you come, show them about CrossFit and all that kind of stuff. You never know what it is that you, the thing that you know how to do can be used over there.
How far above sea level is that area?
Like from here to there. No, we're in the north. We're up in the more mountainous area, and so, yeah. To be honest with you, I don't know exactly. But there's mountain stuff. So yeah, if you want to climb a rock, they got rocks to climb. Yeah. So we're in this place trying to figure out. All right, God, what more do you want to do in us? And YWAM has some guys put together a thing called the Source View Bible. They did it in English first. Source View Bible is a Bible that divides the Bible into colors depending on who's speaking. And so one of our guys said, hey, let's do that, but there's a Thai New Testament. Let's just use Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, the narratives where you have different people speaking. Let's put that in this different colored thing and see how the Thais respond to that. Oddly enough, I don't know if it ever worked here, but in Thailand, they like that stuff. They like getting together. We're all going to get together, and each person's going to have a different color and read the thing. They like it. I'm amazed. And so we're having people come over, people like you, come over and help distribute these Bibles. So is it possible to show the video? Okay, let it rip, dude. I'll stop you when we're had enough.
Hi, our team had the privilege to come to Northern Thailand to distribute Bibles to schools and an entire village. While preparing for our outreach to Southeast Asia, we heard of an opportunity to help pioneer the vision to distribute a Bible to every single home in Northern Thailand. The focus of the outreach was to go into areas that the gospel has not gone before. So when we heard this, we jumped on the opportunity. We raised funds to be able to distribute Bibles to every home in one village. The Bibles we're distributing is called the Source View Bible. The text within each Bible is divided into four colors, representing four speaking parts. The outer cover of the Bible is in one of the four colors of the text. The idea of Source View Bible is that neighbors would meet with each other and read it together. The vision is that we would distribute Bibles to every home in a village. Neighbors would start reading them in groups and discovering Jesus within community.
We are bringing boxes of Bibles. We have two teams here, the Brazilian team and the Kona team. And we brought the Source View Bibles to this school here. We're going to give them out to about 300 students. During our time in Northern Thailand, we had the opportunity to visit an elementary school and a middle school with the sole purpose of distributing Bibles. We were able to partner with a team from Brazil who actually was able to perform various dramas and dances for the students. And at the end of their performances, the YWAM base leader brought out the Source View Bible and invited several students to read out loud to demonstrate how the Bible works. After the short demonstration, we began distributing the Bibles to each of the students, and they loved it. By the end of our time at the schools, about 680 students had a Bible that they could call their own.
All right, you can go ahead and stop it. So we're in this place right now where you don't have to know Thai. You can just come. We got enough people that know Thai that even like this, it was going to start on home distributions. We'd go out and do it door to door. You could never do that here. Take a bunch of Bibles around door to door. People are going to, yeah, okay, we'll keep that locked. We don't want to see it. Go away from our front step. That's not that way in Thailand. They're like, whoa, yeah, what do you got? What do you want? And just handing those things out. So if we're there and somebody wants to share their testimony or share what happened with Jesus in their life or even while they're reading the Bible, they can do that. So we map out an area, a village, and people like these guys, they raise the funds in order to give out enough Bibles for everybody. And then they send a team. They're going to come and help do that. Our long-range goal is to do all of Thailand, but right now we're just primarily working in the north. Right when we first started, we just had a bunch of Bibles, and we just kind of hand them out to whoever it is, any Thais that we saw, tell them about it. And then later on, we got a little bit more organized and started to, bring it into entire villages. At any rate, they're going into this one village, and they came to this lady's house, and she says, you have the Bible. I have that Bible here. Somebody had already given her a Bible. And she says, we started reading this thing right away, and it's like our house is just full of joy. That was the word she used. It's full of joy here now. So if you got some more, I'll take some more. I'll give them around to more of my family, more people. Thailand is in a really unique time right now, and Bible distribution is, oddly enough, a really powerful thing. We have times when we think about, okay, Thailand's all about sex trafficking and that kind of stuff, and yes, you want to be able to work with those kinds of things. We do as well, but how do we raise up a foundation strong enough so that we're changing the country, we're changing these families, we're changing the way that we have this national plan. We're trying to up, all right, God, what is it that you want us to do nationally to make this thing different? We had in one of the children's homes, we had a young girl there, about 16 years old. She'd come to that children's home, was doing well, really doing well. Came from a village, super messed up, and kids go home on the weekends, not on the weekends, but on the school breaks, and so she went home, and while she was there, her parents are in debt to a neighbor, and so the neighbor said, if you give me Bulu, if I can have sex with her, then we'll cancel the debt, and so the parents said, Yes. We're looking at, this is not all about a bunch of Westerners going to Thailand for the sex industry. This is about a messed up family system in Thailand. It's bigger, it's deeper, it's more complex than we think. And oddly enough, in that same children's home, there was another girl, Pachara. And Pachara, she came to that that children's home, and she just kind of locked in. They're talking about God. They're having worship nights. She's going to a youth group thing. And by the time she hits 13, she comes to Christ. She grows up through this thing. These children's home want to help you get through college as well. They paid for her college. And now we were just up in Lakeside, and who would be there but Pachara? This is a little girl, 5 or 6, stuck in a children's home, taught about God that whole time through, decides to stay with it. Bulu is destroyed by what happens in her village. And she comes back from that experience with this neighbor and is destroyed. Within a couple of months, she's in Bangkok and in the sex industry. Pachara is going, no, I can see what else has happened. I want God, I want God, I want God. And while she's in college, is sharing Christ. And you think, so what was that? It was a couple of Americans who had gone to Thailand and for 20 years had been working in this children's home to help raise up these kids. There's a lot of Bulus out there that are getting caught up in all the stuff. But there's some Pacharas coming through. And they're ending up at YWAM bases, doing a discipleship training school to go, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to follow you? And those are the ones that your lives are still impacting, can impact still to this day. So we say here, as we think about coming to the end of this thing, we think young people come to a place and they think about Jesus. Like, oh, he's so boring. Don't step back. Don't step back, young people. Don't do it. The best stuff is when you press in even farther. The best stuff is the stuff when you get closer to God. So when you say, oh, it's boring, I don't have anything. He's calling you at that point. Come closer. Come closer. Don't step back. For those guys, and those, you know, we went to YWAM when I was 45 years old. You are not too old or too young for this thing. We were 45 when we joined YWAM. We moved full-time to Thailand when I was 50. When we first started the YWAM thing, my kids were 11 and 13. It does not destroy them. God is calling us to stuff. I got spoken to by God at one point saying, uh-oh, am I still there? Saying, there was a guy that spoke in one of our classes, and he was kind of boring, but all of a sudden he says, reclaim and mobilize the baby boomer generation. And it was like my spirit just went, boom, and I went, wow. I don't know what that is, God. I'm clueless about what that is, but can I be a part of that? And God going, you want to be a part? It's time to come. It's time to come. For all of us heading into that, all of us baby boomers, I was born in 57 at the peak of the baby boom. And God is going, you are not done yet. We are so happy for the youth. Yes, we're happy, and God is moving mightily. Praise God for that. But baby boomers, you are not done. You are not done. And I would be willing to bet you that many of you have had, if you've been walking with God for a long time, that he spoke stuff to your life when you were younger. And yes, life happens, and we got to raise families, and we got work to do, and all that kind of stuff. But I'll bet he spoke stuff to you that was not able to come to fruition, and he's saying, you can do this. You're not done yet. This is not over. I'm reclaiming and I'm mobilizing the baby boomer generation. Yes, we all kind of bellied up to the pig trough as prodigal sons, but the pig trough was materialism or something, whatever that was within our own selfishness, and thought, well, oh, good. It's a good thing that the kids are coming up because they're going after God. And he's going, no. Yes, that is good. But we're not done. We're running out of time. And we got our chance to go, all right, God, what is it that you want me to do? Is it uncomfortable? Oh, man, I got to wear this all the time. I'm getting stretched beyond stuff that I want to be stretched by. It could be as simple, maybe not going to YMM. It could be simple as I need to think differently about how I'm going to love my neighbor. I mean really love them so that it hurts me to figure out how I'm going to do that. How am I going to do that like Jesus does that? If I'm saying all kinds of stuff, you know, can you imagine Jesus being in a place of, do you know what my neighbor said to me? My neighbor told me, can you believe that? They've been doing this for years. Those guys are just irritating. Can you imagine Jesus saying those things? Sounds kind of silly, right? It would sound kind of silly coming out of Jesus. Jesus starts going, those neighbors, they're so separate, right? He would never do that. I heard a guy one time, it just broke my heart, says, if it sounds silly coming out of Jesus' mouth, it should sound as silly coming out of ours. Somehow I haven't changed enough to love these people like Jesus is going to love them. Now, part of whatever it is that God has been speaking to your life about, I don't know what that is. It could be go off, do something somewhere. It could be something of a trend. Remember the book is not about how do I get blessed. The book is how I am transformed into his likeness. We are supposed to look like Jesus to other people. And the things that we say are supposed to sound like him, as radical as that might be. We live in the big fight over political stuff. And we go, wow, this is the hardest part. Now is when I really, it's the thing of the, if I have the fruit, I've got the orange, and I squeeze that orange, what's going to come out? We're going to have some orange juice, we hope. If they squeeze Greg, what's in Greg? What's in Greg? Because whatever squeezing gets done, whatever's in me is going to come out. And I want what's in me to be the image of God. I want that to come pouring out. So why don't we stand? Let me pray for you. I don't know what God's speaking to you, but we want to be in a place where we're listening. All right, God, what are you saying to me? So just in your own heart as I pray, just ask him, Jesus, is there something? Is there something in me that you spoke into me years ago and you're saying, maybe now start moving toward that. May not be today, may not be tomorrow, but I need to start moving toward that thing that God has spoken to me before. Whatever that is. So, Lord, we ask that you would just begin to speak to us. Holy Spirit, just move in us. Help us. There's lots of stuff out there, Lord, to distract us from you. How do we keep focused on you? Just ask you, just begin to speak that to us. So, Lord, I just ask, as you're doing that even now, you put that strong deep in our heart. Help us not to forget. Turn our spirits on. Turn on the light. Turn on the light for us about whatever it is that you're calling us. Certainly calling us to a closer relationship with you, but maybe there's some stuff, some different things you want us to do as well. So, Lord, we just invite you to speak to us in that way. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.